downtown and around the square. It was on Main Street, on the northwest corner of the courthouse square, was the Burnet Fire Department, the volunteer fire department. We called it, it was the fire station. The Burnet Fire Department was established in 1932. So local man said, we need a regular fire department. But there was opposition in the town. Folks said, oh, we can just do like we've always done. We don't need to spend money. And next thing you know, they'll want to tax us for it. So men raised the money, and they bought a fire truck, a used fire truck, for $1,100. And the Burnet Fire Department was established. Now, my memories are vivid of that fire department. Well, it didn't look anything like that. That's the Burnet Fire Department today. But I can see the fire trucks. I can see them. Well, that's not it either, but that's the day. My memories are vivid of this. That's the Burnet Fire Department that I remember. It had 2.5 big stall bays that the fire trucks parked in. It was a yellow brick type of building. And like I said, it was just right off the square. The building was crammed full of fire equipment as well as fire trucks. There was the bright red polished fire truck. There was an old pumper truck. There was the original 1932 truck that they kept at the station. And remember those years where fire departments went to this neon green yellow fire truck? We had one of those for a season too. The interesting thing about the Burnet Fire Department as a kid was that on the wooden door that led into the fire department was a hole worn all the way through, and that's how you got in. You just stuck your finger in the hole and lifted up the latch. That way when the fire came, you didn't have to have a key. Adults, it was a high, stick your finger in, lift the latch, and the door was open. All volunteers, all men, but a variety, diversity. Lawyers, mechanics, and barbers too. Business owners, city employees, new guys that came to town, but most of them were older guys who had been around the community forever. Now here's how it happened. If you had a fire, you called. You didn't have a cell phone, y'all. You called. Zero. You call the operator. And the operator said, what do you need? He said, I have a fire. I'm at 608 Vandeveer, and my house is on fire. And the dispatcher, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, called Holmes Barbershop and said, there's a fire. Because the Holmes Barbershop, from Monday through Thursday, that's where you set the fire whistle off. They went behind the back door of the barbershop and punched the button. I couldn't make that up. Monday through Saturday, if there was a fire, they called the barbershop, and Thomas or Jerry or Carol went and pushed the button. That's just hard to imagine, but that, I really couldn't make that up. And the fire would go on. Now, if it was after hours and the barbershop was closed, the operator would call, the dispatcher would call, the fire chief. And years later, imagine the dispatcher himself or herself could actually call the whistle. Now, it was a whistle, fire whistle. Every day at 12 noon from the barbershop, they hit the 12 o'clock whistle too. Every day, Monday through Saturday at 12 noon, you had the one, and we knew it was time for lunch. But three whistles, and it was a fire. On Monday nights at 7:30, one short whistle meant it was time for fire practice. Now, when those three whistles would go off across the community, it was an amazing sight. Men would come running all around the square, all over downtown. They would run out of the barbershop and out of the lawyer's office. They would come out of the courthouse and out of the retail businesses, all around the square. As a kid, when the fire whistle first went, you waited, and when it went to number two, you knew it was fire. And here they all came, running, running, grown men, running to the fire station. Now, the man that worked for my dad at the shop, he'll take a block up the square. He always backed his red GMC pickup, and he would put lights on it. And there was a fire. He would leave whatever he was doing. My dad would give him permission, and off he would go. Pickups would be coming around the square, and then would all be running. Now, the first one who got to the fire station, usually one of the barbers who pushed the button, would stick his finger, open the door, and there was a chalkboard where they would write 608 Canyon Beer, the address on the chalkboard of the fire. Now, this is where I connect. Because I would hear the whistle, and I would jump on my bicycle, and often I would get there just as they were unlatching the door, and I would read 608 Canyon Beer, and I would take off on my bicycle to meet the fire trucks to help them find the location. Once the man that worked for my dad, Gerald, told my dad all I did was get in the way. And of course, I couldn't do that for about a week or two. And a fire in a small town, it was glorious. It was the most excitement we had for a long, long time. A fire with a suit during the day, it was just glorious. Now, a fire whistle at night was a bit frightening. Or a child. It sounded scary at night. You would think whose house, and what if it's one of my friends, or what if it was my grandmother, or in many a night when the fire whistle would go off, I would be standing next to my parents' bed, and they would say, no, go back to bed. I remember when a house two doors down at Maine and Johnson burnt to the ground, a big old two-story house, and the fire was so I could hear the trucks getting closer and closer and closer. A house about four blocks down one night on Pearson Tate Street burned all the way to the ground. As a kid, that smell that lingered in the neighborhood. Once a new home they were just building over on Romberg and Highland burnt to the ground. What memories. And I guess it didn't continue, because when I went to my first church, pastor, in Chilton, I got into the parsonage where our son lived now, and here was this big old black phone, and I said, that's great. He said, oh, that's the fire phone. You and three other homes, if there's a fire in Chilton, they'll call this number. It is a real loud ring, and you'll hear it, and then there's a list of three people you're supposed to call. And well, that sounds so important. Here I was, 28, pastoring, and getting to ask the fire phone. And I would call my three names. So they said, Mark, you want to be a fireman? And well, yes. So they had fire training. Texas A&M came to Chilton and did a one-day fire training school. It was great. They put that nasty smelling fire pit thing on me, and this heavy fire coat thing, and they put that helmet on me, and then they put an oxygen tank on my, because we needed that a lot of children, on my back, and they made us crawl into this assimilation thing, and I got halfway through it, and I said, I'm coming out of here. There's no way. I backed up. They said, you can't go. Yes, I could. And I'm probably the first one to ever fail volunteer fire school. And I have the diploma that says Mark Newton, chaplain of the fire department. And they took the phone out of the house. Well, what lessons can we learn from this? Last week I shared some lessons downtown around the square. And I think the lesson of the firemen in my life, they were so dependent. These men were so giving. They never knew what would occur when
the whistles would go off and they would run to the fire station. Sacrificial. That's what they were. And they were passionate. They were passionate about their commitment. And it was all about others. They didn't look at the chalkboard and say, well, that's not my house. I don't know who lives there. Oh, it's not much of a grass fire. No, they were committed and at times even consumed. These firemen were so loyal. And I think that's why even today I On Wednesday nights, when some of y'all are at choir, I'm watching Chicago ER and Chicago Fire and Chicago Police. I like those fire shows. But the one word and the concept that I learned of firemen would be the word faithful. Committed, loyal, sacrificial, passionate, dependable. They were faithful. And my earliest memories of faithfulness was when I thought of firemen who ran out of their business to go to the fire station to serve others. Never once did the doors open and one or two firemen show up and they said, "We've got to have more." Never once did they say, "Well, the house just had to burn because the firemen were all on vacation." Never once did the grass fire consume all of the hill country because the burn it fire department didn't show up. No, they were faithful, 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 a lot like our God. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 90, "O God, your faithfulness continues through all generations." God was faithful to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. God's faithfulness was seen through the men and the women, the prophets of old. God's faithfulness throughout the new covenant through Jesus Christ, his son. God's faithfulness in the formation of the church. God has been faithful and continues through all generations. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 said, "God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is so faithful, he keeps calling. He keeps calling others into relationship with Christ this week with those precious COVID-infected kids. We shared Jesus. And it may be the greatest privilege I have as a pastor to sit in small groups, tell some children that God loves them and God has a plan for them and they can commit their lives. And this week over 20 boys and girls prayed and came to me and said, "I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. I've heard God's call." God is faithful. God is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, "Timothy, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful." Aren't you glad for that? Even when we are faithless, when we give up our faith, when we lose our faith, when we turn our back on faith, he remains faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, the writer said, "Therefore, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." One of my favorite verses. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And then if you have your Bibles, our primary text from the Old Testament, a lament, Lamentations. You don't preach a lot out of Lamentations. Some of our adults have just finished 14 weeks of the book of Job. How would you like to go through 14 weeks of the book of Lamentations? That would excite you. You know, there's so much going on in our world. Really? The war continues in Ukraine. And you know, we move in such fast pace, we sometimes just forget, there's so much hurt and despair. Whether it's gun violence or the economy or all that's happening all around us, there's so much stuff. So much stuff in our world today. And it was the day when this word was written to. Listen, Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord, gone. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Some of you there? My soul is downcast within me, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I am filled with hope, because the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Downtown and around the square, the firemen in Burnet, Texas, as a kid, were the first picture of faithfulness I'd ever seen. But their faithfulness is nothing compared to that of God. How about you? How's your faithfulness? How's your faith? Like a fireman or like God, are you dependable? Are you giving? Are you committed? Are you consumed? Are you loyal? Are you all in? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the works of the kingdom? Are you faithful in your own personal faith? Are you faithful to your church? We should be. And we can be. We can make new commitments of our faithfulness. Like the firemen, we too can be giving, sacrificial, passionate, dependable, loyal, and faithful to all. And even when we're faithless, never forget, He is always faithful. Singers, come. We're going to sing that hymn. Great is thy faithfulness comes, of course, from this text, Lamentations. They are new every morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. We're going to sing all three verses. We sing that hymn perhaps as much as any hymn that we sing at the church. Some of that's because it's my favorite hymn. But other, right, it's such a good hymn of deep theology and of truth. As we sing this hymn, reflect on God's faithfulness and think about your faithfulness and make new commitments today. Like a fireman of old, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful indeed. Would you stand?